Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking energy and the initiative that's on the ballot with Lucas Folletta of McDonald Carano Wilson, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Fred Locken and James Smack. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Lucas Folletta. He's an attorney with McDonald Carano Wilson. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
We had Danny Thompson on the program from the AFL-CIO, and he was determined that we should be voting no on question three. You represent the organization that wants us to vote yes on question three, which is the Energy Choice Initiative. Why do you think, when Mr. Thompson points out that other states like California have seen big spikes in the cost of renewables, et cetera, and power in general, from putting into place this kind of marketplace where everybody can come in, why do you think that's a good idea?
Well, I think Mr. Thompson's looking at bad data. If you look at the states that have done this, that have opened their markets, and there's 14 other states that have done it, and you look at the states that have done it well, you see that price goes down. So in a state like Illinois, they save $41 billion, a little more than that, actually, across all rate classes. And in a state like Pennsylvania, they saved about $20 billion. And so if you implement electricity choice, energy choice correctly, you will see reductions in price. And so I'm not actually sure what Mr. Thompson is talking about. If you look at today's prices, electricity rates across sectors, you'll see that open states, open market states, have electricity rates in all those sectors that are below the national average. Not all of them are below the national average, but at least five or six in every rate class are below the national average. So I think Mr. Thompson is just wrong.
One of the things that one has to look at is that we're seeing fundamental changes in the way that energy is being promoted in this country with renewables. We're seeing companies like Switch and some of the major properties on the Strip wanted to get away from NV Energy in terms of being able to buy their power. They want to be able to get lower cost power, whether it's renewable or not. And people are worried, and the power company promotes the idea that they provide the infrastructure. So who pays for the infrastructure if these customers go away, including solar customers?
Well, if you mean by infrastructure, if you're talking about the transmission and distribution
Correct.
System, Correct. Then that will that will still be owned and operated by NV Energy. The Energy Choice Initiative does nothing to disrupt the transmission or distribution of electricity in any way, and that's important because that's a system that should stay in place. It should be not only well-regulated, but it should be orderly in the way that it's run and the way that it's built out, and so nothing will change in that respect.
The question is, though, who pays for it? I mean, does the average NV Energy customer end up paying extra costs for that infrastructure because all these other people will be going away?
No, not at all. Infrastructure costs will be shared by all customers in the system just like it's shared today. I mean, we all pay for the infrastructure today. Just because there's new competitive providers doesn't mean only NV Energy customers will continue to pay for that. All customers will be paying for the transmission and distribution system.
Right, but for example, these major gaming companies that want to get off the grid and utilize other alternate sources to buy their power, they're paying huge fees to get out of NV Energy that are levied by the PUC. I mean, and they are dramatically large for a company like MGM, for example. So once those customers are gone, who pays the freight then?
Well, we have to, I think, distinguish two different types of costs. When we're talking about transmission and distribution, if a customer leaves the system today, they still pay for transmission and distribution. They still are required, even though they're no longer a customer of NV Energy for purposes of receiving the electricity, they're still required on an ongoing basis to pay their share of the transmission and distribution costs associated with the delivery of electricity from another provider. If you're talking about generation assets, that's a different conversation. And so the question is, what happens if people leave NV Energy system, go to competitive providers who are providing electricity generated by other power plants, for example?
And the answer?
The answer is that those costs are not necessarily borne by anybody other than NV Energy. I mean, under a scenario where we have an open market, there's nothing that precludes NV Energy from being a retail provider of electricity. So there's nothing to say that those power plants won't continue to be used. And if NV Energy is still providing electricity at a competitive price and most people want to stay with them, then those plants will still be paid for in the same way they're paid today. If people move to other providers, then we have to have a discussion, frankly, around the implementation of the open market as to how to deal with those costs. And so one fundamental question is, do NV Energy's shareholders or shareholder bear any responsibility for those investments? Today, ratepayers pay the cost of all the investments the utility company makes, whether we want to or not. We pay the cost of those power plants, plus we pay what's called an authorized rate of return, which is the utility's profit on those investments. And that's a legal obligation that ratepayers have because we live in a monopoly.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to take a break here so we can make some money because we got to pay for our electricity,
okay.
And then we'll come back and finish up, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right, we'll be right back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
And you can tell them to go themselves.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
You got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
We live in a dangerous world. Turmoil in the Middle East, an aggressive Russia, an assertive China, a rogue North Korea, and a belligerent Iran. Wishful thinking and apologies project weakness abroad, putting American security at risk. That's why I oppose the Iran deal, because it doesn't stop Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. As a soldier, I've seen the horrors of war, and only strong leadership will keep America safe and secure. I'm Joe Heck, and I approve this message.
Joe Heck for Senate.
Won't answer the question. Joe Heck, the Senate candidate in Nevada, he won't answer the question. Who are you going to vote for?
It's my ballot. I'll wait till November 8th.
Do you think people don't deserve a right to know who their senator, possible future senator, is going to vote for?
No, I don't. It's a personal decision who you vote for. It's a secret ballot, just like your ballot is a secret ballot.
No, it's not just like your ballot's a secret ballot. You're a declared member of the Republican Party, and you want to be in the United States Senate. Leaders lead, right?
Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs. Cold beer, great food, and new TVs. Tamarack Junction.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lucas Folletta. He is representing the Yes on Question 3, the Energy Choice Initiative. Okay, so you were talking about the fundamental discussion we have to have.
Right. So one of the fundamental questions about who pays for any remaining costs on the system that are no longer being used by these customers that have gone to other providers, one of the fundamental questions is what responsibility does NV Energy have to cover some of those costs? Since 2012, since the merger of NV Energy with Berkshire Hathaway, NV Energy has earned more than their authorized rate of return to the tune of more than $300 million. So that's ratepayer money that has been over the top of what was authorized. And that's not unlawful or illegal, but it's clearly a windfall to the utility company. So the question is, should that money go towards the payment of, to pay off some of these assets that will need to be paid off if some of these customers leave? The other element of the discussion is what to do about the fact that NV Energy collects gross ups in taxes for taxes that they don't pay forward to the federal government. So when somebody, a developer, for example, wants to build a new development, they're responsible to pay the cost of building out the distribution infrastructure to service, let's say it's a bunch of new homes. Well, generally what they do is they pay that cost. They give those assets, though, are owned by NV Energy. The developer also pays for what would be the tax obligation that NV Energy would bear by owning those costs. But NV Energy hasn't been paying taxes, and not because they're avoiding their taxes, because they're not in a tax-paying position with respect to the federal government. And so although they're collecting money that's supposed to go towards that tax obligation, since they don't have the tax obligation, they keep the money. And there's over $100 million of that since 2011. And so we're talking about a lot of ratepayer money that is going into NV Energy that could go a long way towards reducing any ratepayer burden of the unpaid expenses of power plants that are not being used to the greatest degree possible.
And bottom line is that across the West especially, we're looking at fundamentally changing the way that electricity is distributed and sold. This is not just a fight that's going on in Nevada. It's going on all across the West.
Right.
And companies like NV Energy are basically fighting for their survival, no?
Well, there are a lot of people who want this to happen in other states, and that's because it makes sense. I mean, when you give yourself the benefit of competition, you grow jobs, you grow renewable energy, and you lower price. We released a job study about a week and a half ago that shows that over a 10-year period, that's a reasonable build-out period in terms of opening the market and getting people integrated into it and using it, you would grow about 63,000 jobs in Nevada. Now, most of those jobs are clean energy jobs. And that goes back to a point you were making earlier, which is that today companies like Switch, Apple, Fortune 100 companies, for example, 60% of them have a renewable energy goal. They want affordable renewable energy, and they can't get it in Nevada at a competitive price. If you open up the market, they can invest directly in those projects. That will result in creating jobs, and those projects will be leveraged not just for the benefit of big companies, but for the benefit of residential users as well.
And that's where we have to leave it. This will be an interesting thing to see after the election, which way it goes. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
As you make up your mind, remember, Congressman Heck voted 10 times to defund Planned Parenthood. He even threatened to shut down the government over it. Heck took all that money from Wall Street and predatory payday lenders and voted their way. He even wanted to privatize Social Security, risking it on the stock market. Congressman Heck just doesn't care about people like us. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Social Security disability. Experience, skill, count. Over 30 years of successfully helping people get Social Security disability. David Allen and Associates. Talk to the right people. I'm David Allen.
Catherine Cortez Masto's negligence left thousands of rape kits untested and rapists on the street.
In other states, they've convicted hundreds of rapists by testing these kits. But Catherine Cortez Masto failed to act.
And when she did act, Cortez Masto voted to allow murderers out of jail early. She even pardoned domestic violence abusers. Don't let Harry Reid force another political failure on Nevada. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
And you can tell them to go themselves.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
You got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
Your Social Security Disability Benefits application has been denied. Denied.
You've been denied Social Security Disability Benefits. Talk to the right people. David Allen and Associates. I'm David Allen.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, just to remind you, we're taping this on Wednesday, November 2nd, so you can put this in context if you're watching it at a later date. James Smack is here, former Nevada Republican National Committeeman, and Fred Locken, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. What are your feelings this morning, James?
Well, gosh, I think I'm almost to the point now where if I was the Trump campaign, I'd almost be advising the man to go back, lock himself up in Trump Tower and not say anything, because the momentum is actually in his favor right now. So, and so many times it seems like he gets the momentum in his favor and then he'll say something the press picks up on as controversial, and it takes and it moves the narrative back the other way. So right now I'm cautiously optimistic about Donald Trump's possibility of becoming president of the United States, but it's going to be a close race.
Fred Locken, do you share that?
No. In essence,
you know, you have gotten poor Fred has gotten more depressed on this program over the last 3 months than I've ever seen him.
Just wind it over with. But the reality is that
I agree with Fred on that.
We may be in the situation of 2000, where one candidate wins the vote. That's possible. I could see that in play. But in terms of the Electoral College, there's just too many states for Trump to move at this point. And it's a campaign that has never seemed to be focused on the Electoral College until very recently. And so in the absence of a ground game nationally and getting the vote out, it certainly tightens, but I still think it's Hillary Clinton's to lose.
It's an uphill. It's still an uphill climb for Trump to pull this out. The thing is that if this whole email reopening happened a week earlier, where early voting has already started in several of the key battleground states, a lot of the votes that have been cast had already been done before that story even broke. That's certainly advantage Clinton.
But this whole effort of influencing the campaign and the fact that the media has played into it, the WikiLeaks material, given the agenda of the WikiLeaks organization, never should have been a campaign issue, but it was allowed to. And I, for one, would love to see Donald Trump's taxes, and I'd love to see Donald Trump's personal emails, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I tell you that if we saw that, we would be equally shocked by much of what a billionaire does. Suggesting that one side has an ethics issue without recognizing that the other side does too is just a ludicrous aspect of this campaign.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is that the Clinton campaign is spending money in states that you would never have thought that they would try to go after. And the reason is they have so much money left. It is insane. $150 million in the last week, less than the last week of a campaign.
And historically, that matters. The other reality is that we have to recognize that the Democratic ground game is good. The registrations are top-notch in Nevada. We're showing them in many of the battleground states as well. So from the Democratic perspective, they're anticipating, I think, a surge. And if they get that, we may be talking about something entirely different on November 9th.
James?
And on paper, everything still looks like it's going toward Clinton. It does. It has looked that way for a while. I think, though, that I backed away from thinking that Clinton was going to win this going away and end up with a mandate, and now I'm looking at this being a much tighter race. It could still swing to Trump. I still think that's probably about a 25% chance, but I think you'd have asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd think it would be more like a 10% chance. So has that needle moved? Yes. Has it moved enough to make enough of a difference between now and November 8th? Possibly. But I still harbor my doubts, but I'm always an optimist, and I'm going to be optimistic about it, because this was the quote unquote October surprise. Now we could see what comes out today or tomorrow as the October surprise going the other way. Of course, at this point in time, it'd be a November surprise. But there's still an opportunity for the needle to swing, the pendulum to swing back in those six or seven states that are out there that are battleground states to move back toward Hillary Clinton, and this still ends up being a pretty comfortable win for her.
Do you think the Democrats did a good enough job with their rapid response to shift the blame for the emails to Director Comey rather than it landing fairly and squarely on Clinton?
I think they scrambled as quickly as they could. They were completely blindsided by this. I think that there has been in the past a feeling that something was, you know, was happening or they were in communication. This one just was dropped on them. And I think that's part of their frustration. Because, you know, I think they have tried to be cooperative in this process, and I think they thought that they would be treated a little better on something. And the nature of the investigation, when they're just not even sure there's going to be an investigation, they're opening it to see if there should be an investigation, seems to be a ludicrous thing for the director to be announcing.
One thing that I look at as a positive for the GOP here, Fred may not necessarily agree with me
probably
on this,
not.
But I think that what it has done is taken the House out of play for the Democrats at all. I think the House is still going to be in Republican control no matter what at this point in time. The tightening of the presidential race is going to take a few of those seats that might have been in play, and I think they're going to be strong enough that the Republicans will lose seats in the House, but they're not going to lose the House. I think the Senate is still kind of a toss-up at this point in time, but I think Ron Johnson may pull out Wisconsin, especially if Trump's spending a lot of time there, and he can make the Wisconsin polls close. I think Ron Johnson may be able to pull that out, and that's one of the must-wins for the Democrats. They have to have that state in order to take control of the Senate.
Do you agree, Frank?
Well, I think the House was never in play. I think that was fantasy on the part of the Democrats, a dream come true kind of thing. And I do agree that a number of these races are very, very close for the Senate. And so still it's the uphill for the Republicans. There are enough seats in play. The Democrats have a lot more options for taking the Senate than the Republicans do in keeping the Senate.
What do you think the response from the public is going to be? You talked about it a little bit earlier. If the popular vote is for Trump, but the Electoral College gives it to Clinton, what do you think the response is going to be from a population that appears to me to be terrified of the changes this country is going through, even though it's a natural evolution of what's happening?
I'm going to be looking forward to see what happens on November 9th, whichever way this goes. I think that there's going to be some protests. I don't know if they're going to rise to the level of Baltimore or anything like that, but I think there's going to be some protests. I think there's going to be some anger, and I think that anger is going to spill out onto the streets a little bit, regardless of which way this goes, whether Clinton wins or whether Trump wins. However, if Trump wins the popular vote and Clinton wins the Electoral College, I'll say the same thing I said in 2000. Thank goodness for the Constitution.
And I would agree with that. I think I'm hoping not for violence. I mean, this is America has always been distinguished by its ability to hold peaceful elections. And if we have violence, we really have one candidate to blame because there's been a stoking effect going on there that's been highly inappropriate to the process. We all have to respect the process. Even after 227 years, it still works. And I think that, yes, at the end of the day, we have a Constitution and every person who has sought the office of the presidency has respected that Constitution. I hope that both candidates will this time as well.
Do you agree?
I agree. I hope so too. The quickest way for me to lose interest in your cause if you start looting or shooting, and I'm not really I don't have a problem with peaceful protests. I participated in plenty of those when I was in college myself. I have no issue with that. If people want to take to the streets and think that there might be there's something that they want to express their opinion on a particular matter, I'm not a big fan of blocking traffic, but I understand. I would rather see somebody blocking traffic than looting somebody's house or store or something like that, or shooting somebody. So, yeah, I would rather see a peaceful type protest like that. If there's going to be I guess my call now would be to the Trump supporters that if this goes away, that looks like it stinks for Donald Trump. Take to the streets, do your protesting, but be peaceful, be respectful, do it the right way.
Let me ask you, James, a phrase that's come up a lot during this election cycle is alt-right. How do you define that?
Alt-right? Gosh, I think some people could have probably characterized me in that corner at times when I was a Ron Paul supporter and still am for that matter, but coming from that wing of the party. And I think it's just, I think that's kind of where Hillary kind of defines the deplorables. I think that's where she kind of put that basket of deplorables she talks about is kind of where the alt-right may land, at least in her mind. And I guess that's probably the best definition I could put on it.
Could be 12.5 million Donald Trump supporters that in essence represent an America that was but no longer is. And so the alt-right seems to hanker back to turning the clock to the 1950s when people knew their place in society. And playing on those sort of subliminal or at least under the radar sentiments basically has constituted the new core of the Republican Party, which is Donald Trump, which is not the Republican Party of 2016. On November 9th, our big question is going to be what's left of the Republican Party and where does it go for 2018 and 2020? And it's not in the direction of Donald Trump, but do they have the leadership to muster and the ability to decide once and for all what the Republican Party means in this decade?
But out of this, you could also end up getting an Abraham Lincoln.
Sure.
I mean, out of the ashes.
Yeah. But that was a collapse of one major political party or replacement of another and then a buy into a direction. I just made the comparison yesterday in class that there is a tremendous parallel between the 1850s and this decade of the 21st century that America seems to have brought itself to. It's always a two-sided argument, and we are literally looking at that same argument today.
The Republican Party is
done. We're out of time. I thank you both very much. I am a little more optimistic than you two. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Ed.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm Catherine Cortez Masto, and I approve this message.
Joe Heck, the Senate candidate in Nevada, he's a congressman now running for the Senate seat. Listen to him right here. He won't answer the question, who are you going to vote for?
It's my ballot. I'll wait till November 8th.
Do you think people don't deserve a right to know who their senator, possible future senator, is going to vote for?
No, I don't. It's a personal decision who you vote for. It's a secret ballot.
Like your ballot's a secret ballot. You're a declared member of the Republican Party, and you want to be in the United States Senate. Leaders lead, right? Yeah.
Telephone companies have complicated deals with contracts and hidden fees. But with Spectrum Internet, we make it simple and affordable at $29.99 a month when bundled. And there's no contract.
No contract at all with Spectrum. Finally.
Spectrum Internet is the fastest you can get. At 20 times the speed of DSL, you'll easily have enough bandwidth for all your devices.
Our phones, tablets, all connected. And it's fast.
No slowdowns, no data caps. Everything is perfect.
With Spectrum Internet, I'm getting more for my money.
Get Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-883-2999. With Spectrum TV, you get free HD, and all your primetime shows are free on demand.
We can always watch what we want, when we want it.
And Spectrum Voice is simply superior with no added taxes or fees.
And the bundle dropped our bill in half.
Get Spectrum Internet, TV, and Voice, just $29.99 a month each with no contracts. Call 844-883-2999.
Catherine Cortez Masto's negligence left thousands of rape kits untested and rapists on the street.
In other states, they've convicted hundreds of rapists by testing these kits. But Catherine Cortez Masto failed to act.
And when she did act, Cortez Masto voted to allow murderers out of jail early. She even pardoned domestic violence abusers. Don't let Harry Reid force another political failure on Nevada. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
On our next broadcast, we're talking gaming at home and abroad with Sean McGinnis. We'll see you in the next broadcast.